Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. We're going to come back to that subject. Y'all don't have any paper or pens on you, do you? Y'all have your phones? No? That's good. Good. Mm-hmm. If you have your programs, a paper and a pen, would you pull it out really quickly? We're going to do something, and we're going to hide it away until we revisit it at the end of the sermon. And then, you know, y'all have good memories, so just, okay, take a note. Thank you. As you're pulling that out, I want you to look around the sanctuary and write down some things that you notice that you take for granted, that we take for granted. When we come in, some things that you see in the sanctuary that you usually overlook on a regular Sunday. Just take a second to write what you see. If you don't have a paper and a pen, just kind of think about it. As you write, just look at the colors and the faces. Just little things that we forget. It don't have to be a paragraph, just a bulleted list. And let me ask you this question. Have you ever forgotten anything? Some of y'all forgotten my name. Y'all like, what his name? But maybe you forget people, right? The years have grown on, and people that you've met, you forgot. Maybe you met somebody yesterday and you don't remember what their name is. Maybe there's some kind of recollection of where, but you've forgotten, right? It's a face. Maybe it's a thing. You've forgotten your keys somewhere. Now, you know that you put them on the counter or on the table, but they just seem to grow feet overnight, walk away from where you last set them, right? You've forgotten your keys. Maybe you've forgotten your phones. Trey? Trey, you on it now, ain't you? You knew that you texted this person or that person, you called this person, and yet you can't find the phone. Can't find the pen that you had in your purse, the peppermints and candy that you hid from yourself. It's something. And maybe you just forgot to forget. Some thoughts. Some to-do things. And I know that I'm not that old, but I things slip my memory all the time. Y'all not talking back to me, but I can see by the color of some of your hair that y'all may have forgotten some to-do lists too. Right? That was just to make you laugh. That was a joke. That was a joke because some of y'all don't have hair, so I understand. That was just a joke. Just to warm you up a little bit. That's just to make you smile. Some things that you've forgotten just to forget. My sermon is broken into two parts. In order to find your purpose, there are two things that I want you to do. The first thing is to remember your Creator. You've forgotten some things, some people's faces. You have forgotten maybe to write something down where you put something. But there's two things that we ought not to forget. And the first thing is that we should not forget the God who created us. How can you have purpose in life if you don't know who created you? Us, we, me. It's easy to forget him. But hopefully I can remind you of just a few things about our Creator. First of all, let me say again that we do have a Creator. We have a God that has breathed breath into our bodies. He gave us eyes to see. He has given us a voice to speak. He's given us ears to hear, legs to walk. He's given us hands to create things, to touch and to feel. He's given us a heart that beats in our body, pumping the blood in circulation that we may have this breath, that we can have a sound mind. We have a Creator. You may believe in evolution. You may believe in some scientific exploration of man, something that has brought us into being. But I want to remind you to remember that we do have a Creator. And if we are going to have any purpose in life, we would do well by remembering our Creator. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. There is an acknowledgement from the psalmist as he sits and pens on the paper that God exists. There is not only in us creation, right? But he tells us in 2 Timothy 1:9, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Our Creator has the purpose. You cannot have purpose in life if you don't first acknowledge your Creator. And the second thing, and then I'm done. So if y'all missed that first point, then you're just too bad out of shape. The second point is this. Remember why you were created. Remember your Creator and remember why you were created. The purpose of your creation. In Exodus 9:16, this text comes to memory, but I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. Most, if not all, of our purpose comes from that very first verse in Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, that with every fiber of our being, not just with our lips, but with our hands, with our ears, with our jobs, with our schools, with our relationships, that there is a purpose and a plan to everything. And that is to exalt God. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name. We were created by our Creator. We've also been redeemed. We've been given grace. We have been given new life. We talked about what it looked like to know who you are a few weeks ago, to be reshaped by this God who forms us out of clay like a pottery maker, that we have been redeemed, reformed, even though we have been broken vessels. We find purpose in our living just by living. If we live and give God the glory through our living, then he will be exalted. How do you give God the glory by your living? Well, you can start by waking up in the morning, thanking God. In this season of Advent, as we prepare for this new Christmas, this Christ Mass, this acceptance of Christ coming into the world, we should first give him thanks for coming, for being. And we can do that by saying, thank you. And then when we wash our faces and brush our teeth, you know, my grandmother used to say, and then after you do that, you make sure you have on a clean pair of underwear, because you never know what's going to happen to you. When you get dressed, you know, you start on your way, you ought to thank God for the clothes on your body. You can start by thanking God for the ability to have life, acknowledging the Creator and remembering that we are created. Those were my 2 points. I'm done. No, I'm kidding. God bless you. We have been redeemed. Philippians 2, 12 through 13 says, therefore, my friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And listen, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. That our purpose was placed in our salvation. Our purpose was placed in the grace that we have received. We should thank God because he's given us new life, not just life, not just creation, but new life and a new creation. This will bring him glory. So there are two things that I must counter with, though, and then I'll be done for real on this. I'll be really done. Why do we forget our Creator? If we want purpose, and my first point of purpose is acknowledging our Creator, then why do we forget him in the first place? The beginning of time, man wanted control. We want control of everything. And you see that even in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve takes into their hands control, right? When the Israelites are released into this exodus that they are going into from the hands of Pharaoh, they wanted control. They wanted control of their journey, what they were going to eat, when they were going to eat it, how they were going to eat it. They wanted control. And part of the reason that we forget our Creator is because we want control. We want control. We want control on our job, so we work until we get into positions of power. We don't want somebody else telling us what to do. We want control at school, so we get into the cliques and the I don't know what y'all call them, you know, your friends, homegirls, homeboys. Y'all still use that? Okay. No. Okay. You want control, so you find a group that can control, you know, I don't know, popularity, you know, what's going on, who's on the basketball team. No, y'all, you do. Okay, thank you. I had one witness. We want control in our lives. We want control of our marriages. We want control of our relationships, friendships. You may not admit it, but in everything we do, we fight for control. And part of the reason why we forget God is because we try to control everything. And we forget that we have someone who is in control. If we step back just a little bit, and allow him to control. If we allow him to guide us, to lead us, then we can acknowledge him. But by trying to control everything, we exclude God from many of our affairs. Then the other part of why we forget our Creator is because acknowledging God is no longer popular. It is not the worldly thing to do. That is everything outside of these walls for what you don't bring in with you. We want to blend in. We want to fit in with the world. We like social media because we control this narrative of who we are, what we want to be, and then we fit in. So it becomes unpopular. It becomes irrelevant that we have a Creator. This has, if you haven't been paying attention, is why I believe Kanye West has become so popular within this 21st century generation, millennial, of Christianity. Not that we are judging his story, but he's become popular because the church has become irrelevant. It is no longer popular to hear from ministers in the pulpit. So we have to go out into the secular world, grab a hold of a story, of a narrative through rap and pop and hip hop, and draw them in order to draw somebody else in. It is no longer popular to put on fashionable wear, to present ourselves before God. It is no longer popular to attend the meetings that govern church affairs. It is no longer popular to come into God's house with all of our being, just accepting that God is God and all by himself. That he doesn't need a man to lift him up. He doesn't need people to lift him up. He doesn't need some icon to lift him up. God is God all by himself. And while Kanye West may do that, I'm not discouraging. I thank him for who he's pulling in, but it's no longer popular to have God instilled in us, to take him wherever we go. And we leave him behind. How do we leave him behind? The way we talk to people. How we treat people. How we look at people. When you leave God behind, even in the church, when we leave him behind, people go to extraordinary circumstances to find him. Acknowledging your Creator may not be popular, but it is needed. In order to find your purpose, you can't let somebody tell you who God is. You have to know him for yourself. You can't let people dictate your praise. You can't let people dictate when you shout. You can't let people dictate when you pray. We may have systematic worship in here where it's on the program, but you have to take him with you. You have to know him for yourself. Acknowledge your creator. Your spiritual need is not met by coming to church. Not alone. People can rob God by coming into church and leaving him here. Right? We want to get a spiritual high and then go back and live the same way we've been living, talk the same way we've been talking, cuss at the same people we've been cussing at, gossiping with the same people we've been gossiping at, lust after the same things we've been lusting at, and leave God here. But your spiritual need is met through a deep prayer life, a deep spiritual reading of scripture, seeking God, acknowledging God. Listen, I don't know how many, y'all know I like to watch shows and movies and all that. How many of you have seen Crown? It's on Netflix. Oh, God bless you. Is she, only one. It is about Queen Elizabeth, the longest reigning monarch in English history. There's one episode that focuses, are you caught up on episodes? Okay. Well, and I'm going to spoil it for you. In season 3, there's one episode that focuses on Prince Philip. Y'all know who Prince Philip is? That's the Queen's husband. And if you know anything about their marriage and their life, it's weird. Because Prince Philip had a problem having to submit to his wife. It caused conflict in their marriage because whenever she was coronated as queen, he had to bow before his wife. And as a man, not saying all men, but it was hard for him to do so. So in this particular episode, it's talking about the midlife crisis of Prince Philip. Prince Philip is searching. He's searching for this deeper truth. Can I exist without being in control? So what does he do? Well, around that time, if you know the story, what happens is the astronauts were getting ready to go to the moon for the first time. Neil Armstrong and the other two. I can never remember the other two. And Prince Philip wants to meet with those three men when they get back from the moon. Why? Because he wants them to give him the answer to his purpose. He believes that because they went to the moon and they have explored the unknown and have stepped in a place where nobody else has stepped, that he would find his purpose. So he sits in this room for about 15 minutes. And all three of them have colds representing their mortality. And then as he's talking to them, he realizes they don't have anything. He realizes that they were just men. That his purpose cannot be found in man. It can't be found in this exploration of the unknown. So what he does is he had been invited by this man named, I thought I had it on my paper. of this priest. And this priest that he goes to meet with asks him a question. He says, well, you're trying to find your purpose, and you met with the three astronauts. Did you figure out what your purpose was? And he recalls a question that his mother asked him. He said, no, I need help. He says, my mother said to me, what I was lacking was this one thing, was faith. He says his mother, who was a nun, asked Prince Philip, how is your faith? This morning I ask you not how is your faith, but how is your memory? How is your recollection of God? You can explore the unknowns. You can search deep and wide. You can find the love of your life. You can have the best relationships. You can have all that money can buy. But if you do not remember your Creator, if you cannot recall what God has done for you, if you cannot recall why He's made you, then will you ever know your purpose? No, no, no. You have to first remember your Creator. You can meet the most famous man and woman in the world. You can shake hands with presidents. You can be on the most scholarly of names and lists in school. You can make, is it NHS? You can make honor roll, and you can have perfect attendance, but that won't give you purpose. Acknowledge your Creator. And then this last thing, and I'm done. We also forget why we've been created. We forget our Creator. I've given you a list of why we've forgotten Him. But then we also forget that we are created. That we are creation. Now listen. Getting older changes the meaning of purpose. Right? Some things that you used to do, you don't do anymore. Some dreams you used to have, you don't have no more. Some things that you used to be able to physically get away with, you can't get away with it no more. Huh? You can try real hard, but some things just change. And if you forget why you've been created and your purpose lies in things and in stuff, then you will find that you will never find your purpose in life. You know, it used to be a rotary dial phone. And now it's touch screen, and some of y'all have been sticking with the old phones and house phones and won't move on. Maybe in church, you've been sticking with the same formula of your spiritual life. And you thought that was going to get you through some stuff. You thought a title was going to get you through a storm. Right? You thought that coming to church was going to get you through the darkest of hours. No, no, no. Your purpose, your created being has to be instilled in you. Not only that you were created, but why you were created. Do you ever sit back and rate your life? Do you ever take a time? And the reason why I say this is not just generalizing this to older people, but nowadays, even teenagers, even children get discouraged because they measure their life in stuff. We rate ourselves 0 to 10. How am I doing in life? Well, you know, I have a good relationship. I got a job. You know, I have good grades. I got a good job. I was saying job to them because job to them is not job to us, you know. $5 an hour ain't nothing. Oh, you get more than $5 an hour? Maybe a car. I got the car that I wanted. I built the house that I wanted. My marriage is finally on a good track. None of y'all said amen, all right? And we are overshadowed by not getting to where we want to be in life because how we rate ourselves. We look at our weaknesses as flaws, right? We judge ourselves compared to the next person, what the next person have. And I am learning that you will go broke if you try to live according to what somebody else has. So I've decided I'm not going to keep eating the same places I've been eating. I ain't got enough money for that. I ain't going to keep trying to go to the same places and look the same way that everybody else. I'm not where you are and you're not where I am. We cannot judge each other. We cannot rate ourselves by what somebody else has. You have to know why you were created. And I have to know why I was created. And so we get to the text finally. What does the psalmist say? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all of the earth. What is mankind that you are mindful of him, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and in honor. What is mankind that you are mindful of him? What is mankind that you are mindful of him? What are we that you are mindful of us? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all of the earth. What is mankind that you are mindful of him? How majestic is your name in all the earth. What is mankind that you are mindful of him? How majestic is thy name in all the earth. You thought I was worth saving, so you came into our life. How majestic is thy name in all the earth. I was full of sin, and yet you gave yourself for me. How majestic is thy name in all the earth. Lord, you came to this earth, and we thank you for it. Because if we had not encountered you, why were you created? Mahalia Jackson sings a song. She says, if I can help somebody, then my living will not be in vain. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or a song, if I can show somebody he is traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. No, my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. Then, if I can help somebody pass along, then my living shall not be in vain. She goes on to say, if I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring back beauty in a world of rot, if I can spread God's love in a message that the Master taught, then my living will not be in vain. My living will not be in vain. My living will not be in vain. My purpose is not in vain. My purpose is not in vain. If I can help somebody, however you help somebody, whatever you say, wherever you work, whatever car you drive, whatever church you go to, your living won't be in vain. Your purpose is found by knowing your Creator and knowing why you were created. I was created to live. Bring Him the word. Bring Him my praise from the words of my mouth. Children, don't let the world tell you about your purpose. Know your Creator and know that He created you. You are beautiful. You look good. You sound good. But that won't take you anywhere if you don't know Him. As we receive our invitation, there's one thing I want to do. And you go ahead, musicians. Do y'all still have those papers? What did you write down? Was it the base that holds the flagstaff? Is it the chains that hold the chandeliers? Was it the legs on the pews that allow us to sit up? Was it the candelabra that holds the candles? We take for granted little things because we don't think it matters. And maybe you have been taken for granted, your life, what purpose you have to play. But I tell you, no matter how little or small, no matter how great or tall, you serve a purpose. I offer Christ to you today so that you may know your Creator and acknowledge your creation. If you are here, as our deacons come, as our greeters come, and you want to know about Him, come this way. We offer Him to you at this time. Oh Lord, how excellent. Purpose. Maybe you're looking for a church home. This is the place for you. Would you stand, Ebenezer? Let us sing that. Oh, Lord, how excellent. Majestic is your name in all the earth. What is man that you are mindful of us, that you have placed us above the beings of the earth? We know, O God, that you thought we were worth enough to allow us to have a purpose in your plan. We thank you, O God, for all that you've done, all that you will do. And we thank you, O God, for giving your Son that we may have a right to the tree of life. And O God, we ask that you would help us to remember that we may remember our Creator, and that we may remember that we are your creation. Lord, we ask that you would instill your purpose in us, that is to glorify your name, because you end the psalm by saying the same thing. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name, that it is imperative that we praise you, that we honor you in our living. We ask, O God, that you would bless each and every individual that is here, that we may seek you and live according to your works. Lord, help us, guide us, and lead us as we leave this place, but never from your presence. We thank you and we honor you in Christ's name. And through the aid of the Holy Spirit, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Receiving line. Also, please join our youth in Fellowship Hall for Fellowship Hour.